services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 224. I'm Adam, and affirmative mistress is Debbie.
If you're time travelling, where's your Tharyl?
It's Mary Lang.
Vision is subjective.
And Kirby Bartlett, much better now. Sloan.
Will you listen to me when I'm talking?
People generally do. Right, so this week we're going to be looking at Warrior's Gate, amongst other things. And I haven't got it ready. Oh, I did have it ready. Hang on, I need to. Well, we had a bit of a minor disaster just after Debbie came in the house.
Yeah.
I spilt tea all over my connections.
Oh dear.
They looked very nasty.
Yeah, so I've now got only 3/4 of a pot of TARDIS tea. And also it went in my Belkin. So 3 of the 6 connections go buzz when you stick something in them now. And yeah, it's a bit of a disaster.
Well, this is what happens when those TARDIS cups have corners.
It's not that. It's when what happens when you've got no room and you knock the table where the cup's on, and the cup then goes all over the table, and then you knock it again, it goes even worse. The first time I knocked it wasn't too bad.
The first time it was fine.
It was the second time.
It was the revisit.
Never mind. Anyway, right, yes. Warrior's Gate. How about I turn the volume down on this? Otherwise it's going to be... Oh, it's whizzing up. Firing up. Right, so we start with...
Some of us mute the volume before we start the podcast.
It is muted. It is muted, thank you. I'm just making sure it was muted. Right, Steve Gallagher wrote this. Did he write anything else for Doctor Who?
Yes, he did. Terminus.
Oh, that's interesting. I did wonder.
I was about to say.
I thought I could have looked it up, but I thought I'd let you one of you come up with the answer. Then there's a little panning shot around a spaceship where there's lots of sleeping, hairy people.
I didn't look that one up.
What, the sleeping hairy people?
No. What else he wrote?
And, yeah.
You just knew that off the top of your head, huh?
There's a little bit of a tour around the spaceship. It makes it look like somebody's actually walking around. And I think, is that what it's supposed to imply?
Yeah. Just sort of someone's wandering around.
I do just like
graffiti,
that.
Graffiti and general detritus. And, yeah, just made it look like they've been there for a while.
Did you think that these costumes are similar to David Tennant's spacesuit?
No.
No.
Same sort of orange.
Yeah, but they use orange, so...
This chap here, the one with the bald head.
They went to a surplus store and picked those up. Seriously.
Boy suits.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Yeah, now the chap who... he was in Randall and Hopkirk Deceased.
Yes, that as well.
He played the deceased.
I was wondering, what does that mean? I saw that listed.
What, deceased means you're dead?
No, what... Why a show would say that? I've never seen that show.
Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, because they're
a detective pair,
pairing,
one of which was dead. So he just went around, he was a ghost. It's a bit like Quantum Leap, but...
Vincent Pickering.
Who was Vincent
That's
Pickering?
His name. Isn't it?
Is
it?
Yeah,
Vincent Pickering.
Like the ghost in Mrs. Mirror.
Are you sure? I thought it was something else. I think you're wrong, though.
No, I've got the wrong person.
I think you have got the wrong person there.
Fair
I may
enough.
Be wrong,
David
but I don't remember.
Kincaid, then.
No, I don't think it's him either. No, it's Kenneth Cope.
Now,
all this point of view stuff,
Master.
Yes, point of view Master. Stuff, Master.
All this point of view stuff was done with a very expensive, for the time, handheld Japanese camera, of which the BBC only owned one. And
cool.
So they had... and getting up there on that gantry, the whole production was shut down for an hour on the last day of filming because health and safety decided the whole thing was unsafe.
Ah. Mm. Right. The chap who played, what's his commander's name again?
Rorvik.
He usually, or more better known at the time, for playing German or SS soldiers. Especially in Softy, it was that thing, Secret Army, wasn't it?
Mm.
And you can tell he has got that sort of, you look at his face, looks got sort of Nazi-ish sort of, I don't mean in a bad way, but he's got that sort of face of, that portrays the how you would imagine a Nazi to...
I loved how ineffective he was as a commander.
One. There is an actual expression for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
They
even
European,
do that in Hello, don't they?
European, Western European.
Very serious
sort
of
like that, yeah.
thing.
And it doesn't help he's wearing like an SS
uniform. Yeah, it is very similar. It's got to be said. And of course, he's clearly torturing this Birok into his thing. And did you notice the headphones?
Yes, I noticed the headphones.
Once you post it, it's like, oh my gosh, they're there again.
Well, except I noticed it three days before.
Yeah, no, that's not entirely true. I noticed it before you because I was watching the episode before you. I just didn't post it until after you posted it. So,
sure.
Well, if we're going to do that, I watched the episode I left the other day.
Well done. I'll tell you what was amazingly good. The way they did this tossing of the coin at graphic.
Yes,
I know it was a bit pixelated and stuff. It just looked really superb. I don't care what you lot say. I thought that looked excellent. And I think,
I thought it looked good too.
I reckon that Graham Harper would have been proud of a little bit of directing like that. What do you think, Debbie?
Well, since Graham Harper did direct some of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And it really sort of helped to generate
the
sort of
running
atmosphere.
Theme of it. The running theme of it with Adric doing it as well.
They keep it running thing. Although the sort of 80s graphic of the TARDIS was a bit naff, but it still looked, the way they put it into his eye.
Master. That wasn't a graphic. That was a balsa wood model.
Either way, it looks a bit naff.
At the time, computer graphics were so expensive, it was easier to slap together a model out of sticks, paint it, and photograph it against CSO.
But they did rather do a fairly good job with that. The TARDIS, of course, is malfunctioning because it's kept caught up in this sort of time wind thing we do. And these time winds, I mean, do you get that when you eat certain types of food?
Some
jelly babies, probably.
Time winds.
So, right, what happens? Just go past that bit. So, the Doctor is forced to, attempt to land, but unfortunately the doors, if I remember, the doors of the TARDIS. How does he get out of there and into the TARDIS? That's what confused me.
Through the time winds.
Pardon? Oh, sorry, what time is get it, pardon.
Going through different dimensions.
Terrible time.
Oh, they did get Birok out of his seat, so he does start wandering around the ship.
They think he's done for, so they take him off to dispose of him or something. And he gallantly escapes.
Yeah, and then there's just some fuzzy, same strange fuzzy sort of effects going on the screen. And then the doors of the TARDIS open, some winds come in, a canine sort of bursts into smoke.
Memory wafer goes.
And then Birok sort of fiddles with the TARDIS console, and then goes a bit sort of trancy. Does he say something to them? I think he did, didn't he?
It says they're coming behind me or something. Run or
who were?
Or don't trust them. Something like that.
Anyway, these two characters are great. This is I can't remember their name. Aldo and anyway, I love these two little sort of. These sort of characters
They were originally going to be Aldo and Waldo, but someone thought that was a little too crazy.
I thought they were sort of very Robert Holmes-esque, these sort of characters.
Yes.
And I quite liked them. Because they weren't really majorly beneficial to the story, but they were quite good characters to have in there.
I found I was sort of comparing it quite a lot with Alien.
You were? Why is that?
Because of the guys that were always moaning about the fact they wanted their money and they weren't going to get their quota if they stopped and they've got to go and repair that.
I must admit, I am not that familiar with Alien. I have seen it, but I've only seen it once or twice.
Oh, okay.
It was also, it was sort of influenced by Alien, but Gallagher also said that he was influenced by Dark Star, which was the John Carpenter's first movie.
Okay.
Well, John Carpenter, Dark Star is a dark comedy about a spaceship that goes out and destroys dark stars, and it influenced Alien as well.
Anyway, so like you say, K-9's gone a bit funny since being touched by these time winds, and these wafers have gone a bit powdery and crumbly.
They've become graham crackers.
Yes.
And then, of course, the ship has landed. I think the TARDIS has landed as well in the Blue Peter studio, minus its its sort of its trimmings.
Yes.
And what's this thing he's carrying on his front? Surely it's that's slightly
it's,
too
it's
big.
It's a ginormous sensor.
It is. Even cumbersome for those days.
Masta?
Yes.
It's a mass detector.
Yes, but it's quite big.
Yes, so.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so were mobile phones and all that at this time.
Yeah, I know. It just looks a bit... I think at the time I thought it looks a bit big.
Yes. If you were creating... Maybe their technology needs something that size for detecting mass.
I'm not complaining about it to that degree. I just didn't like it.
They haven't come up with microcircuits yet.
No.
No, obviously. Well, they had, didn't they, in 1980? Yes. 1980? Anyway, moving on. Yeah, so this... Birok and the Doctor go into this sort of castle-y place where it's all dolled up with sort of, what they call them, cobwebs. And there's some mysterious sort of apparently dead soldiers in there. One of them comes to life and the Doctor fiddles with him.
And lots of moody Peter Howell music.
Yes, and sort of comes behind the Doctor and is just about to... attack him with it.
There's a lovely point in the episode two. Yes. Where he
episode two or episode this episode?
This episode. Oh, right, yeah. Well, episode two, where they go to hit their axes on him and they clang against each other. And one of them drops the axe and lands blade down on the back of Tom Baker. Yes. And he's just there smiling, you know. No problem.
So, how does he get out of that one? Because didn't he just turn around and sort of say something like, hello?
Pretends to be one of them for a moment, but it doesn't.
That's right.
It,
yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, that was what I call the Scooby-Doo moment of this.
So yeah. Meanwhile, Romana and Adric are still in the TARDIS, and Romana goes out and decides to have a chat with the
tries
the
to
crew
outsmart them, doesn't she?
And I then, think she does.
She has she has a signal where she has to put her hands up in the air and then behind the back of her head to say, "Don't come out."
Yeah.
And he comes.
So she sort of more or less willingly goes off to the spaceship, and they want to use her as a navigator.
Navigator, yeah.
But and they do say later on in this, if when they attach her to the machine, if she isn't suitable, she'll be frazzled or something like that, don't they? Yeah. I tell you what, though. I mean, I did say this is the Blue Peter Studio, because it clearly is. Yeah, the spaceship.
Debbie's
laughing at
that?
The spaceship. It's clearly the Blue Peter Studio. He's going to disagree with me.
Yeah,
now.
Blue Peter Studio was just pretty much white with a few bits of scenery.
The largest studio at BBC Television Centre, so I'm pretty sure that's really the only one they could have used for that particular set. But I did love it. I think it looked really, really good. And I reckon this is very similar to, in The Mind Robber. Was it Mind Robber? Yeah, it was The Mind Robber, wasn't it? When they had the sort of white backdrop for the white soldiers.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, and I like that. Because how else are you supposed to depict no time and nowhere?
This is how he outwits them, is by them having them
chop themselves, yeah. And it chops in the kid's head.
Should have chopped
his head. Yeah, but there was no force in it, though, was it? It just dropped on him. And he's got a great big scarf there to protect his neck anyway. So like we say, Romana goes back to the spaceship and Adric and K-9.
K-9's definitely amazing. Not feeling well.
What do you mean? What's well amazing?
Looks like they, they used Studio One, and this was mostly Studio One.
So what are you saying then, Kirby?
You
are correct.
Of course.
Master.
So you just wasted yourself a few minutes of time to confirm that what I knew already knew. But there you go.
They also use Television Center 6.
Do you know everyone else who was listening will have been doing
that as
well?
Yes, I know. What do you reckon? Adric is sitting on
K-9. Yes, they would have.
Adric's sitting on K-9's control panel, but doesn't need to be deceived.
I know, that always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the only story where someone sits on K-9.
Usually when he's unconscious, but he's conscious at the moment. Anyway, so yeah. So they more
but
or less...
not functioning well.
No. Well, once they've got Romana attached to this headphone thing, they start sort of treating her rather badly. I've got a burp ring, sorry. I'm going to do it a bit more discreetly than Kirby.
That was not a bit more discreetly.
Yeah, but according to my microphone, it was.
Okay. Not according to my earphones.
So the Doctor starts fiddling around with these sort of robot... What do you call them? Soldiers? Guards, I suppose.
Yeah, soldiers.
Gundans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gundan, that's it. Yes, that's the phrase I should have said. And they get because they've lost Birok, they get a Tharyl out of their little cold storage department.
They're going to fry him up a bit.
Yeah, they're trying to sort of fire him up and wake him up and stuff. Don't really sure how they managed to acquire all these Tharals, actually, but because I mean, if they're the Tharals in a different sort of time, sort of continuum, it would have been remarkable. But Debbie's now looking through her notes to find that I'm wrong.
No, I'm just seeing if I've written down anything.
What about how they managed to acquire the Tharals?
I don't think it's actually
how they managed to they managed to do what
to acquire the Tharals.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me the answer then. Yeah, so
I don't think it's ever said how they were acquired.
No. I would have thought it would be quite difficult
to acquire
them. I've
actually got a question mark next to what I wrote.
I would imagine from their description they'd be quite elusive. Nevertheless, they managed to acquire them.
I think they'd be very hard
to
acquire.
Well, if you protect them against the time winds, you probably can capture
them.
That's
quite impressive. That close-up of the Gundan, where you see its little sort of silver skeletal face through the grid, I thought that was quite good, actually.
Well, that's another one of those things which is very Scooby-Doo like with the skeleton and the armor.
I suppose so. Anyway, meanwhile, the Gundan walks through the mirror.
Does it?
Yes, it does. Which because all the crew are there by now. The crew are at this little castle thing. What I forgot to mention also is that this little sort of pocket time area is getting smaller, and the TARDIS and the ship are getting closer and closer to the castle area as we move through the story.
Yeah, there's a comment every now and then, that didn't take half as long as I thought it would.
K-9 sort of goes up to the to the mirror and says, orders, Master. At this point, can't pass through it yet. But I think the Doctor passes through it at the cliff, because that's right, because Romana...
Vegetable
is,
fried rice.
Romana's tied into the
seat.
Yes, thank you. Romana's tied into the seat. She's getting very scared because there's somebody approaching her and just about to grab her face with her hairy hand.
They didn't quite go all out with the heavy breathing from the POV shot in that one, not like they did with the Silurians.
No. Of course, so all the hand does is just undo her, really, and let her sort of set her free. The Doctor...
Yeah, it undoes her from some manacles that she could have easily slipped out of anyway if she'd stopped making fists.
Okay. So anyway, she then decides to sort of hide her new friend and sort of pretend she's still manacled to this particular thing by doing a manacle back up again. The Doctor has got through the mirror. Well, gets through the mirror, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's having a
chin. Is that just before he's about to get killed? I can't remember now. I can't remember how he initially gets through the mirror. But he's...
He backs into it from when they're going to kill him.
Because
he's
worried about K-9. And quite rightly so, because K-9 gets some rather rough treatment as well. Well, Adric wanders around this sort of...
Yeah, K-9 gets such rough treatment that he ends up with no insides.
Hang on, I'm getting a buzz.
Several times.
Hang on, I'm getting a buzz because the tea that's rattling around my Belkin is actually causing electrical problems. There we go.
I'm hearing that buzz. I was afraid it was me.
But no, it's tea.
Oh, hang on. You shouldn't be able to hear it.
There we go.
I wasn't hearing any buzz.
I just have to apologise to the listeners and blame it on the time winds.
For the persistent buzz during the whole podcast.
Yes, Apis isn't. Yes, which was normally just Kirby talking. Right then, back to the... I'm only
Master.
Joking, Kirby.
Master.
Okay, I just have the 20 megabyte persistent buzz podcast. I'm persistently stumbling over my words podcast as well.
Yeah. Right.
Might have to put them in the tumble dryer. Yeah, so the Doctor is wandering around some black and white garden.
It's very nice. It's a bit like Osborne House.
Where is it,
Kirby? Do you know where it is?
Of course. Oh. It's Powers Castle.
The episode just stopped itself.
There we go.
Why did it do that? Technical problems. Yeah, the episode just stopped itself.
Powers Castle.
Uh-oh.
Powers Castle, that's in Wales. What do you mean, uh-oh?
You said the podcast has stopped itself.
No, the episode we're watching.
Oh.
Just the DVD just stopped itself. Anyway, like Debbie says, the Doctor starts... basically, he's following Birok through some strange black and white garden, which, I'll tell you what, it does look really atmospheric. They've never tried this before or since in Doctor Who, and I think it looks really
Paul really Joyce himself took those pictures that they CSO'd in Powers Castle.
Really,
it's also interesting to note that the CSO, this is a lot of CSO in this, but the previous story was CSO-y, but it does work really, really well in this. Even though you can see it's not really there, but they're in a sort of a temporal sort of strange place, aren't they? So it sort of it fits really, really well for me. Mm. I like
yes,
it,
it does. Like your it. Sound is yeah. better.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening.
Tea.
It's weird. I don't care if I've sat... Well, even better than it was before the buzzing.
Yes.
Well, to me, it's the same now as it was before the buzzing.
That's Kirby, then. That's where it was. Kirby is interfering with my connections.
I've so, come through the time winds.
You have. So, Romana has obviously got escaped, and you see a shot of the spaceship sort of being dragged across the studio floor, because it's really being dragged by some sort of time energy towards the castle gate. The TARDIS is already there. Mm. Aldo and the other chap have been given some special task. And what was the special task? To get the MZ, I think.
Master.
Yes.
Which could
you, no, that's the next episode.
Could you make the dog stop jingling?
No, stop he's not jingling. It was star scratching. You wanted to say stop flapping your ears, didn't you? But I wasn't going to do that because there was no ear flapping going on.
Now, in episode...
We're in episode three at the moment, yes.
Yes, in episode three, there's a great shot. I put a screenshot of it on Facebook last night.
Yeah.
Where they're coming down, just before they're getting the orders to take the MZ out. There, a bunch of crew members are coming down the scaffolding. And the MZ is sitting there with its little gold covering on it, and a microphone.
If you go to TARDIS Wiki, that is actually mentioned in the continuity sort of errors.
I almost never go to TARDIS Wiki.
No, it's not entirely accurate, but it can be quite helpful. So, K-9 follows Adric to the spaceship, which has got a great big hole in the side of it. And this spaceship is made up of that warp star alloy stuff, is it? Right.
Dark.
Right.
Dark
same star.
Is it dark?
Dark, no. Dark star matter.
Dark That's star it, matter, yeah. Yeah.
Which is allegedly the same stuff that Matt Smith talked about in Impossible Astronaut. Is that right?
Yes, well,
it's what they made the prison out of.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So. But it's so heavy, and Romana and Adric are able to pick up pieces and toss them around.
Mary
like they're made of styrofoam.
Yeah, no.
Romana can pick it up, but Adric actually shows that it's heavy.
Well, but it's so heavy. A teaspoon of it is supposed to weigh tons. Mm. So even her picking it up is a little weird.
Yeah, but they're not in a normal space, are they? They're not even in E space.
Normal
they're sort of
rules
a strange
don't apply.
Yes, it's a bit of a strange... That's a lovely effect, isn't it? When
all of those walls, all the walls, like the gate itself, the full size gate, and the broken walls and everything of the spaceship, are all made out of styrofoam.
What a surprise! Anyway,
And they do a good job of not wobbling it.
Oh, I think it's all
right. The main wobbling is because of that scaffolding.
I'm going to gloss over the point that Mary made about it not being particularly heavy because I'll explain later. Anyway, yes.
Yes, I agree.
It's
because they're in no space. Not indeed. Just in space, but between space.
Zero indeed. Coordinates.
It's a sort of like
a
void, isn't it? A time void. Anyway, the effect when Romana and her little feral friend sort of... It's a bit like the Ready Brick sort of... advert and so on. They sort of hold hands, walk down the corridor, glow a little bit, and then they're out of the spaceship and walking in the sort of bit of Blue Peter studio. Love that effect. Mm. Really, really good. It's very atmospheric, this story, anyway. And then the Doctor and his little girlfriend, Tharyl. Don't see a lot of girl Tharyls, do you?
Only this one, and I didn't even spot her at the banquet. I just see her in this one scene.
I suppose they had to do that because... Women's Lib was sort of at the forefront in the beginning of the 80s. Lots of protests of various different political things going on, and that was one of the things that was being discussed at the time.
Yeah, because she doesn't lead him in, she just leads him to overlook the banquet, doesn't she?
Yes, of course. That was a bit weird, because obviously they've travelled through a garden and stuff to exactly the same room.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. I mean, it's like Castrovalva, isn't it, where they're going around in circles. It's a sort of time folding in on itself type thing. So, I don't care. It's really good. Although, I think... I think Romana's reaction to the table, you know, becoming all infested with cobwebs, slightly over the top. She just sort of looks really shocked, as if She's looking at a dead body.
Well,
she's seeing them with the machine there, I think.
Master?
Yes.
Master. It's because she was acting to what the script said, and the script said that the table was covered in maggots.
Oh, right, okay. Oh.
And I'm not talking about the online script, which is probably out there somewhere where someone has typed in all the words. I'm talking about what was in the info text and in other places online. I don't know if the online script, I haven't even found that this time around.
Okay. Anyway, right, so...
Let me see if I can find it.
She's touching his face.
Yeah, because he's healed. He was all burnt.
Smiled because he got his face touched by Lala. Is that the co-founder of the show?
Yes.
Right, if it gets loud out there, we'll have to close the door. I'm just looking at what Doctor gets served up for his dinner. I'm trying to work out what it is. I think it sort of looks a bit like a lobster, but I think it's some sort of alien spider. What do you reckon?
Alien lobster of some sort, yeah. Mm.
That's not relevant to the story. I just haven't noticed it until then.
I can find out what all the catering staff brought in.
Okay, no need for that. But he's a bit rude, isn't he?
There were two lobsters. I'll have to figure out what else there was.
Don't worry. Look, he's drinking wine too. Always.
He doesn't like the way they're treating their servants.
Oh, I see. So he's just. Well, who are the servants? Oh, it's just the. Yeah, go on. I can't remember who the servants were. Wasn't the Tharals, was it?
No.
They're just humans.
Oh, the humans. Yeah.
They're humans. Yeah. They built the Gundams.
That's right. But the thing is, though, right, this is really good, because at the time, all the way up to this point, you're really sympathetic towards the Tharals, and then you find out they're not all goody-goody after all. Because they were slaves.
The universe is our garden.
Yes, well, they were the slaves to the spaceship, and then they've got their own slaves, so they're being a bit... What on earth is going on in the other room?
Nothing.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, the co-founder of the show is playing with a Nerf gun that belongs to her 8-year-old sister. Isabella's birthday yesterday. Do not fire it at anything. You'll break something. It is quite powerful.
I know it is.
I hope you didn't fire it at the television.
Take someone out.
Oh, God. And don't fire it at the dogs either, otherwise we'll have the RSPCA on us. Although it's not a bad idea when magic starts barking. Right, so episode 4. Begins with the title sequence.
Why doesn't the bow work?
I don't know. It's quite complicated, but don't worry about it, Alicia. You shouldn't be firing them around because you won't pick up the pellets anyway. Yeah, so, what's that going on there? Because the Doctor...
There's quite a big backfill there for the beginning of episode.
Oh, there is a big backfill, and then the axe hits the table and we go forward in time.
There is at the start of every episode quite a bit.
Master?
Master, as you're calling
Master.
It.
Yes.
Two large roast birds. That's all it says.
God, he did look
three large lobsters, a suckling pig, a joint of beef, three pineapples.
Right. Co-founder of the show's in the room. Round of applause. you got your label sticking up at the back, by the way.
Which one?
The one that says grapes, Top Shop.
Grapes, apples, pears, 10 oranges, and 6 loaves of bread.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Kirby. I'm sure the listeners will be absolutely riveted. Sorry about the smell. Alicia's just squirted a load of...
And in the box, in the box were 24 sandwiches, 36 ice pops, 24 chicken legs,
thank you, Kirby.
Wrapped cheese and cold meat, pickles, apple, a whole pound of apples.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Is that the staff lunch?
Yes.
So anyway, the doctor
pickled onions, knives, forks.
The doctor gets threatened by the crew of the spaceship. They're all pointing their guns at him. K-9 turns up, and
those guns. The guns were mistakenly made out of solid aluminum. They weren't supposed to be. And during
aluminum,
the first
episode, we have a thing called aluminium in this country. I wonder if it's the same material.
Aluminium. Anyway, during the first episode, when the captain is pounding on the TARDIS. He damaged the TARDIS with the gun.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
So, anyway, the Doctor is facing the mirror. He's got a gun pointed at the back of his head, and he's asking Birok...
who's the other side of the mirror.
For help, more or less, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do nothing, I think he says. So he doesn't. And then Adric manages to get himself by the dish of the MZ. Now, this MZ, I never did find out what MZ stood for, because I looked it up and everything, and I... There must be an abbreviation of something.
It doesn't mean anything. The I don't think it was Gallagher. It was one of the other co-writers when they did a rewrite. Might have been Bidmead. Owned a computer that had MZ as part of the name of the computer.
Oh.
I can look it up.
Well, it's not a computer they're using. It's some sort of weapon, isn't it? It's like
but that's where he got the name. It had a different name at one point.
So anyway, they got the MZ Prime. The doctor does
find
it. One is no. There's stood by the machine with a sort of evil grin on his face. He does do a lot of smiling in this episode. Meanwhile, Adric,
work out what's going on.
Adric and carries K-9 out of the building with Romana. And then, hang on, they all escape. How the doctor? Oh yeah, then
Adric had the MZ pointing at them. Goes, I don't know what all these levers do, but it's pointing at you. So they all get out that way.
So then the doctor comes out and he picks up K-9. Looks like it by the scruff of the neck, and they all go into the TARDIS. And then the big explosion occurs, but they're all like just covered with a bit of dandruff. So they come out, and then the spaceship sort of takes off, doesn't it? But can't.
Someone waves it around the room.
Yeah. I think it's quite an impressive.
Yes. They're moving it into place for the back blast.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't quite aimed, so that's why they move it.
Okay. So, the back blast is. Yes, we forgot to mention this. The back blast is it Rorvik's plan sort of get them out of the situation?
The MZ was originally called the 56K machine, but Bidmead named it after his own
you said that.
Dedicated word processor. It wasn't just compute. And it was a vector graphic MZ System B.
Thank you. So, yes. Do you mind not sneezing, Marsha?
Sorry, it was the dandruff. They were
so they got the ship in the... Oh, yeah, that's right. The orange...
They're trying to revive
all the Tharals. That doesn't quite pay off, does it? Because
they're killing them instead.
Yeah, they're killing them instead. And then the bloke who's reviving them ends up getting killed, doesn't he? Some of them get revived. Because a few of them are wandering around while the Doctor and Romana go
Master.
Back.
Hang on, let me finish.
The Doctor and Romana go back to the spaceship too, because it's marked by the orange clipboard. There, go on then. You can say what you need to say now then, Kirby.
They try and revive, I believe... One or two...
Three, isn't it? Because there's three separate screens.
It didn't occur to me that those screens were separate attempts because they were too close together. But the Tharals, which are crouching outside of the room, are not the ones that were just killed. Those are Tharals that are coming across to... because of what's going on over in the gate. They're not the same Tharals.
Okay. As I was saying, what are the Doctor and Romana trying to achieve by going back to the spaceship? Because they give Adric a message saying that a certain amount of time...
They want to get the other Tharals.
And if they're not back, Adric must dematerialise the...
They're trying to deactivate... things so that they don't do the backblast, because backblast is dangerous.
Yes. Anyway, the Doctor...
there are slaves on that ship. Yeah, she's really fighting for their corner.
So Rorvik then stamps on the Doctor's foot and a bit horrible to him, isn't he? He tries to throttle him with his own scarf.
And she's beating him up with the clipboard. Yeah. And he goes, leave the clipboard, do something else.
That was really good. That was the Doctor and Romana's swan song, really, that particular scene.
Yeah.
And, of course, they get out of it by holding their hands in that strange... That's a really great effect as well. That works well for the time. The white sort of noise sort of effect where they all fade away. Slightly sort of Enterprise sort of beamy-up Scotty, but it did look really, really good. And then Rorvik goes all sort of pantomime villainy after that. The Tharals start killing... some of the crew, while all the other Tharals get woken up by a hand over the face, and that's basically about it. That saves the day. The Doctor, Romana, Adric and K-9 head back to the TARDIS. K-9 is completely out of action now because he's got no memory. That's why it's so nice.
They got the memory wafer off the Gundam, didn't he? Biroc reminded him about it.
So basically, Romana says she's staying, and that K-9 is all right behind the mirrors, so she takes K-9 and... Because they need a Time Lord. Why do they need a Time Lord? Because they needed to get rid of Romana. She didn't want to go back to Gallifrey, because apparently it was time for her to go back to Gallifrey once they got back into Endspace. And that's
she
essentially it.
Helping free the Tharals all over the universe, isn't she? That's what her cause is going to be.
Yeah. The Doctor says she'll be magnificent, I think. Let's turn up the last line.
She'll be superb.
Romana be all right.
All right. She'll be superb.
No, that's not the line.
Yeah, yes. All right, she'll be superb.
Will Romana be all right? All right, she'll be superb. Go on then, Kirby. What do you think it is? It'd be quite funny.
Hang on.
I just played it. Go on.
I'm trying to bring up...
I'm trying to change
over to the subtitles.
You
I'll
are?
Find it
okay.
in a second.
This could be extremely amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the benefits of us being able to hear what I'm playing on the DVD and then not. So that's it. So I'm sure you'll come up with it. While we're listening to... listening to...
I got
Mary's
up.
Aviary.
I got woken up by the foxes barking this morning, 4:30.
You need a Nerf gun,
then. That's right.
We've got a Nerf gun if you want to shoot
that. Master?
Yes?
Master? Yes? The Doctor quotes from Julius Caesar.
No, he doesn't. We're talking about the last line of the story. Mm-hmm. After Romana's left, and there's the Doctor and Adric in the TARDIS, and Adric asks the Doctor if he thinks Romana will be all right, and he says...
All right, she'll be superb.
Thank you.
Okay, I thought you were referring to where you were the noblest Romana of them all, which is from
no, I noticed that quite
Julius
good. Yeah.
Caesar.
So right then, I'll have a go first. Then right, this is probably the only of the weird Doctor Who stories that I really really love, because there's a few weird ones in there, and this is pretty weird, but I really enjoy it. And I just it's very Atlas Shrugged. It's superbly directed. I wonder why that would be. I think all the casts are really good, including Adric. I love the effects on it. I love the idea of it. I love the fact that it really you do really feel like you're in that sort of this sort of nowhere place. I love it. I just really, really enjoy it. When it came up, I thought, oh, good. I'm going to enjoy this one. And I was so keen on it that I put it straight on, so I've watched it ages ago because I'm so very pleased. I haven't got anything to criticise about it really, apart from the things I've already outlined and the minor sort of silly things that I've forgotten about now because I enjoy it so much. So yeah, it's really good, Warrior's Gate. Go on then, Kirby.
I completely agree with you. I as I was watching it, I realised that I must have seen it back in the early 80s, but that was the only time before I started watching it this time around. And I really enjoyed it. This was atmospheric. It reminded me of a lot of the science fiction I was reading back around the early mid 80s.
This is the first time you've watched it, yeah?
Yes, this is the first. Mm. Well, I must have seen it in the early 80s because I did sort of remember the Tharals. And it was atmospheric and... It made sense. I some
it
people say
sense?
That doesn't. Yes.
Oh,
some people have said that it doesn't make sense. It made perfect sense.
Somebody who thinks it doesn't make sense. Carry on.
And it was altogether. It's become one of my favorites. I really, really enjoyed it.
Good. Right, Debbie. is this the first time you've seen it?
I can vaguely remember watching it back in 1981. I can vaguely remember it because, like Kirby, I remember the Tharals.
Yeah, but the Tharals have been shown in little clips here and there from compilation clips.
Exactly.
So you can't be absolutely
so,
sure you've
no,
seen in
exactly.
the story or just in a compilation clip. No. Anyway, go on. What do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I found it a bit confusing.
Mm.
I absolutely love the fact that I placed the fact that they were in the Blue Peter studio as well. I was like, I recognise that. But I found that, yeah, it was referring to a lot of sci-fi that I'm into, that I've watched since, that I watched before. It was all around that era that I was really getting into science fiction. The first video my dad ever bought was Star Wars, and then we had Doctor Who's, and yeah, it was just, it really, this era, Tom Baker especially, really fed into my love of all things sci-fi. But I found this episode quite confusing, but also it did, towards the end, it all explained itself and it all became clear. So I watched it again. Yeah. I watched it twice this time around because I just... Now I sort of... I normally can follow stories straight away, but I just found this... I probably wasn't paying as much attention as I should have the first time around.
Mm.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Good story. And I absolutely loved the use of the pictures. For when they were wandering around.
Again, they actually, you know, that idea was sort of brought back when they did Daleks of Manhattan, didn't they? They actually went around and shot pictures of Manhattan and used them in that production. So it's not something they don't do now.
No, exactly.
So,
yeah, they even sort of used the modern version of CSO with the scene of the Doctor and Martha at the base of the Statue of Liberty. That wall was real and everything above it was CSO, yeah, essentially.
Well, the wall was in Penarth where I used to live. Anyway, go on, embrace yourselves, listeners. It's Mary.
Well, this was the first time that I've seen it. And as Debbie said, I found it very confusing, but fascinating. I was really drawn into it, trying to follow threads and figure things out. And, of course, nothing really, for me, added up. But what I found out since is that this is one mess of a script, because a lot of the ideas that this author tried to write into it, which were very mystical things, were very popular at the time. So the I Ching and things like that, he was writing into the script. But they were finding so many of his ideas unworkable that the script editor and the director at times were rewriting the script when his rewrites weren't working out for them. And there were times when they were so out of ideas as to how to do one thing or another that they were depending on Tom Baker, who was the most experienced person in the production team, that he would have ideas that they would go with. So this is kind of a we made this up as we went along kind of a script, which is probably why it doesn't tie up into neat little knots at the end, but leaves a lot of things that were introduced just kind of hanging. And I found it interesting that this is one story where the Doctor pretty much is more of an observer than a participant. He comes and goes, but he basically watches action. He's not really in the center of any of it or affecting any of it. So, but like Adam, I found it fascinating, and I enjoyed it in spite of the fact that it made little of any sense to me. So,
okay. Well, that's all right. It's better than your normal review. So I'm not going to complain about that one.
I was expecting a much more scathing review from you.
It's one of those things where it's like, well, it didn't make any sense, but I sure had fun.
You enjoyed it. That's the main thing.
Oh, okay, good.
I think, though, Mary, obviously I've watched it a few times over the years, and the first couple of times I watched it, I didn't really understand it as well as I do now. But, like you say, I've always enjoyed the story. So, you know, I think after a few more watchings, I'm sounding like David Beckham keeps saying, you know. You'll probably understand it better. So that makes it even better for me.
Well, I don't know there's more to understand. I think there is certainly more to understand. Like the ferals and how they got captured.
That's the only thing.
And all of that we just kind of lost along the way.
Yeah, I think that's so the only thing really, for me, that they never really tied up. But maybe they'll bring the ferals back for Modern Who and be able to actually tidy
that thing
up.
That's just one of those things. It's like the Doctor says, I'll explain later.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay, all right, thank you, everyone.
Three years.
Finished. Yes. Yes.
Three years ago at the first Doctor Who convention I went to, which was Timegate here in Atlanta, they had someone who cosplayed a Therol, was pretty cool.
Oh, good. Anyway, right. I think we'll move on to a bit of feedback. And when I say a bit of feedback, I really do mean a bit of feedback. But not enough for me. Thank you, Magic. Yes.
Before we do that, I wanted to point out that as we are recording, on this day, 40 years ago, the third Doctor regenerated into the fourth Doctor.
There you go.
So
I missed that episode when it went out as well. I didn't get to see it until many years later. And the annoying thing for me, as I was a Doctor Who fan, obviously, after Logopolis, I used to watch Doctor Who as a normal casual viewer before then. And I remember being at school and we were doing an art project, and there were some old magazines, Doctor Who magazines, and one of them had pictures from Planet of the Spiders. And I was so annoyed that I hadn't seen it. Therefore, I bought the novel, read the novel, and loved the novel. And then, of course, when I eventually got to see the story, loved it even more. It's one of my favourites. Love Planet of Spiders.
You should insert a sound clip of tears, Sarah Jane.
No, I shouldn't. But anyway, feedback.
Kirby did it there.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes. Andy Lunner here at 6:21. I'm sitting in the upper garden's home with a glass of Sauvignon Blanc and a nice piece of cheese. Just finished watching Warrior's Gate, and what an excellent story that was. Now, it's very slow-paced, but that doesn't mean it's slow-moving. It's the pacing is just right, because it's not really a story of action. This is very much just a mental story. It's a battle of wills between the Thargils and the Doctor and Rorvik and the crew. Actually,
there was no one named William.
Stronger.
Be quiet.
I mean, going jumping to the very end, Rorvik actually goes completely bonkers by the end of it. You know, he's gone completely deranged. Don't know why it's happened so quickly, that is. I'm tempted to throttle the Doctor. But really, that suited the whole story. Now, this story, it's a very dark and dirty story, isn't it? It's a bit like Alien, if you've heard people who've seen that film. You've got the grimy ship, you've got the banqueting hall. So it's very much a low-beat story from that point of view. But again, I think it suits the whole, the way the story is written. It's very dark. It's almost funereal at times, I think. Now, compared to the actors, now I didn't realise Kenneth Cope. I think, who the hell's that? Who that? Oh, God, of course it's Kenneth Cope. Did you realise Chris... Clifford Rose, though, so I know this. And I thought the way they did the Thargils with the out of phase, out of sequence a bit, I thought that was very, very well done. Then we've got the Time Winds. Obviously, you injure the Doctor's hand, completely did K9. What a shame they didn't shove Adric into him. That would have completely done it. And going through the mirror, that was a bit of a naff special effect, though, wasn't it? You know, really.
I thought it was alright.
But the way the story went on, with the understanding what the Thargils were, who the masters were, who the slaves were, and it's really, the phrase, the weak shall enslave themselves. I think that's the moral of the story. It's just showing how somebody who abused their power ended up becoming slaves. They were overthrown by the people they mistreated so badly. It's that poor slave got slapped in the face at the banqueting scene. And I think that's why it's a mental story, it's an action story, because you have to look at why are people doing it, what's the motivation, what are people trying to do. And it's interesting, the ones who won are the ones who use the mental power, the ones who lost the humans, who tried to use just brute force with the MZ machine, yes, and the backblast, you know, and destroying themselves. So there's definitely a moral there that, it's, you know, thought is greater than action, isn't it? Now, I thought what was very good, we had, was it Alderman Royce, or Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, if you know your Shakespeare. And in a way, they were the everyman characters, because they were observing what was going on, looking at what's going on. In a way, play the part of the audience, you know, to see that this is what we're trying to do, this is what we need to achieve, and that they're the voice of sensibility, I mean, particularly as they decide to bunk off when they're trying to revolve the Thargoids, when they're going to use the embassy. Shame they're to go, in a way, because they're actually two fairly harmless characters. I suppose, in a way, that's the problem, they were just so ineffectual. And really, most of the human crew were pretty ineffectual, apart from Clifford Rose. And Kenneth Cope at times did things, but the rest of the crew, they really were a bunch of drips, weren't they? However, I think the element of this story is showing how you need to understand the full story, don't you? The big picture is that crappy phrase. You know, as Birok said to the Doctor, you've seen our past, you've seen our present, you know, understand what the future is. But it's the way that it went round and round in circles. But I thought the bit of the banqueting hall where he's sitting there with them and then suddenly he's back with the humans, I thought it was very, very well done. You know, it's interesting that the creature, the bat and eyelid, about, you know, suddenly, boom, there's the Doctor and Mana back in their midst. It's, I suppose they've seen some very weird things and what they've done. I suppose perhaps they're sort of blasé to all these things as well. Now, at one point, I was very, very jealous of Matthew Waterhouse. Just think, he was under the covers with Lala Ward. Oh, my.
I was more jealous of Tom Baker, would I have thought.
Be seeing you.
Yes. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
That was Andy Nunney, by the way, everybody. No interest at all there from the Americans. Right.
What?
It was Andy Nunney. I thought you'd be quite impressed by that. Obviously not.
Hello, 20 Minute
Hang on,
podcast.
Ian. I'm not ready for you yet. Grief. Yeah, sorry. Any comments before we move on to Ian Kirk?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to Ian Kirk then.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. Carry On Cleo might be the best of the Carry On films. They inherited the sets from the film Cleopatra, which was going to be shot in England, but moved to Spain. Infamy.
I love that song, by the way.
Warrior's Gate by someone or other. Director Paul Joyce has claimed responsibility for this script. The Tharyl were lords of E-Space and raided N-Space until the Gungan robots deposed them. They're supposed to be worth a fortune as slave navigators, although they don't seem to be much use in this story. Packard is played by Kenneth Cope. He's familiar in the UK from Randall and Hopkirk Deceased.
I'm well up on my Hulk TV.
Adric pulls K9's ear off. It reappears later, such as E-Space.
Yes.
It would have been more exciting if K9 had pulled off one of Adric's ears. Adric keeps tossing a coin, but I can't do that joke. Replicas of the Doctor's scarf are available from lavazi.co.uk.
Get that man a scarf.
In Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Mark Antony says that Brutus was the noblest Roman of them all. The Doctor misquotes this as he says goodbye to Romana too. The film Alien had two grumbling below-deck workers on a spaceship, 2 years before this story. Mm-hmm. THX-1138 did the white background thing 10 years before.
Doctor Who seems to
use blue screen to create the effect. The drama comes from the idea that the scenery might collapse on itself due to the weight of the ship. Although the scenery budget has already collapsed. Romana tells Adric she might split up with the Doctor and mentions how concerned she is for the slaves on the ship. It still comes as a surprise when she leaves the TARDIS, like when Leela left. In the modern era, Donna is concerned about the Ood slaves. No determinate activity, says K9. That sums up this story.
No, it doesn't.
It seems Romana will remain out of time. I don't know what's going on.
I prefer the Rolling Stones version. Oh, it is a Rolling Stones version.
Yes, it is a Rolling Stones version.
Sound a bit weird because it's coming over coming.
Well,
I just said well, magic.
I know you're a Beatles fan.
Master. Now.
Master.
Hang on. Yes.
What Ian is referring to there is they did use CSO to create that effect. They actually were performing in front of a green screen, and then they CSO'd in the white because they had a different camera pointed at white curtains that were backlit.
Right.
So it really was a CSO'd CSO. It's kind of strange.
Right then, he was talking about white background.
And the mine robber, of course, was in 1968,
Right, white backgrounds. There's some news come about in regards to photographic white backgrounds, or white backdrops, as some people like to call it. Amazon have actually won a patent for perhaps the most commonly used white backgrounds in photography. I wonder if it includes this sort of thing.
Maybe.
Because, of course, it's a brand new idea, having white backdrops. But Amazon somehow have managed to win the patent. So everybody who's ever used or wants to use a white backdrop will supposedly have to pay Amazon for it. What a load of rubbish. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. I've make a note. When I listen to this show back, I must make a note of what I said that made the Americans go quiet. So I can say it again. Yeah, go on.
First, I was trying to find where this patent thing is.
I just read it off the internet. You're going to find it exactly the same bloody place I did. For God's sake.
Stop it. Good Lord.
Right then. Just for that, you can go first now.
Master.
Right.
Well, Kirby won last week, so he's going to win again this week. Or Mary.
Debbie's going to win.
No. Might deduct a point for ultra pedantry. Oh, I won't now, because that's just part of the course, isn't it? Right then. So, that, therefore, as I was saying, it's Kirby to go first.
Master.
I've got to get my page open first. Here we are. First question is this. If I can get the thing to scroll down. Is this loading up? It's not scrolling down yet. My finger's going... it's selected text. I don't want it to text. To select. Right, Kirby, what graffiti is daubed onto the
Gilroy
wall?
Gilroy was here.
Don't get any extra points for interrupting either. But it is the correct answer. Mary. Mary.
Is Mary gone?
Uh-oh.
Mary?
Oh, dear. Someone's upset her. Want me?
She's gone.
She could have told me she'd gone. Maybe she got bored of the... Oh, she's completely gone. Oh, for goodness sake. Right.
Where's she gone?
Whose feedback was she listening to when she decided to disappear? Unless she's rebooting a Mac. I didn't get a message off her, did I?
I didn't know you had to reboot Macs. I thought they were infallible.
Maybe the internet's gone down over in wherever she may be.
Ohio.
Ohio to you too, but I'm just wondering where she may be.
She's not even up, is she?
I'm just seeing if there... Well, where's contacts? I mean, all. There we are. I'm just seeing that she might have sent a message saying... But she can't have done if she's lost the internet. Just says offline. Ooh. Here. Mysterious. I don't know what to do now. Hang on. Has she posted anything on Facebook? If she's offline, she probably won't get it, but she might get it on her mobile.
And I don't have her phone number, so I can't text her.
Okay, that's all right.
Remind me to get that in a couple of weeks when I finally meet her.
Mm.
That's the 20 megabyte crew thing. There we are.
Since she's going to be coming to Con Casterbris.
Fantastic. When's that exactly?
The end of the month.
Oh, cool.
Last weekend of the month.
I could send it personally, but I thought, well, might as well do it on that. So Kirby's now going to look on his phone. Oh, I've got a message from the 20 megabyte crew. Oh, it says, Mary, what happened?
Mary, what happened? Oh, dear.
Curious. Oh, it could be a big battle between you and Kirby. Then she just chickened out of the quiz.
No, she must have just suddenly gone. She wouldn't have just...
Maybe she got...
Well, this explains why she was so quiet.
Yeah,
you were saying
that
we're all quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Maybe she had to run. Maybe there was an emergency in the emergency room.
True. I think she probably would have said, sorry,
yeah,
got to go.
Yeah, she would have. Yeah,
she would have said that. No. I think she would have left a message somewhere. So I reckon it's a technical problem. Maybe that the internet's gone down in Ohio. I'm going to have to guess that it probably has. Oh, dear.
Oh.
Okay. Right, let's cross that off the list then. She might come back, you never know. If she does, I don't know, she's managed to get out of the quiz. Right, Debbie,
yes.
Therefore that question must be yours. One against one, this is...
Oh, no.
We haven't had this for a while.
Oh, no.
Okay, what statement did the crew half-heartedly cheer at the beginning of the story? No, it wasn't that.
I don't know.
It was... Kirby?
Wait.
No, it wasn't wait either.
Hit it.
What? What are you saying wait for?
Don't I get a chance to answer?
That's what I just said to you. It was Kirby.
Oh, I thought you were stating what it was. It was
no, it's not Kirby. You're not going to say Kirby, are they?
Yeah, lift off.
Yes. Right. Kirby. Who was given the job of checking the damage to the ship?
I never got all the names.
Okay, Aldo and Royce.
One of those guys.
Aldo and Royce?
Neither.
Oh.
It was Lane.
Oh.
Right.
See?
Debbie. What ancient book of Chinese philosophy did the Doctor reference? She's thinking. I've got multiple
choice.
Come on,
that's easy.
Multiple choice for you?
Yeah, go on.
Shall I give her the multiple choice, Kirby?
No.
All right.
No, give it to Kirby.
Go on then, Kirby.
I was
going to say I Ching.
Correct. The other options I put down.
I thought it was too obvious.
Hoisin, I Ching, Wang Chiang, or Xi Jing.
Xi Jing. No, I was going to say I Ching. Oh. Never mind.
Never mind.
I'm
indeed.
Not on
Kirby.
Give her the point anyway.
No, don't.
Kirby, what button did the Doctor nearly accidentally press? Was it? Do you want the options?
Fine, I don't
reverse
know.
Reverse bias button, reverse polarity button, reverse time button or reverse neutron button?
The first one.
It's correct. That was the reverse bias button.
Because that's the only one that wasn't a joke.
Okay. I was obviously hoping that Mary was going to get that question. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
What was hanging on the TARDIS coat stand?
Same thing that's always hanging there during this period.
His hat.
Nope. Kirby?
And his scarf, the original scarf.
It was the original scarf, yes. And his coat as well. I would have given you
his coat. Yeah, and his coat.
Yes. All right, Kirby.
During all three of these stories,
I obviously paid loads of attention.
There's plenty of questions left.
When we did the vampire story, I noted that, and everyone laughed at me. Everyone knows that!
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What is it that entered the TARDIS and made K-9 start to smoke?
The time wind.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
Be quiet. Why is Lane told that he is leading the way?
I don't know.
I don't think either of you get this one. I think this is a really good question. She doesn't know. Kirby.
I don't know.
In case the aliens are hostile. You jumped in with I don't know a little bit too quickly there, didn't you? Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What does Birok say when... Sorry. What is... Hang on, I've got to read that question out to myself first. I don't know, it makes sense. What does Birok say when... Right, here we go. What does Birok say he is when Romana asks?
I am Birok.
I think should say what he is when Romana. Yeah, what does Birok say he is when Romana asks? Does that make a bit more sense? No,
that's what he. That's the first thing he says.
I
am Birok.
No, that's who he is, not what he is. Risk, Debbie.
And yeah, I don't think he ever tells them.
Yes, he does. No, he doesn't say that. He just describes it in a sort of poetic way.
I am your future.
I'm going to give you a point for that. It's nearly right. The answer is a shadow of his past and of Romana's future. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What is Romana told to ponder about as the Doctor left the TARDIS?
Zero coordinates.
It is the correct answer. Kirby.
Master.
What crumbled in Romana's hand?
A graham cracker. No, a memory. a memory chip or module.
Memory
wafer. That'll do.
Fine.
Yes, right, Debbie.
Yes.
How did Lane describe the TARDIS?
A box?
Nope. Kirby.
I couldn't understand the question.
How
you were breaking
did
up.
Lane describe the TARDIS?
A coffin.
Yeah. Elaborate.
For a very large man.
That's the one we're looking for. Kirby.
You gave that point to
Kirby. Wait.
Kirby.
Did I correct it? Did I say correctly? Or
you said coffin. Yeah.
Yes, right. Coffin for a very large man. Yes. So this therefore was your question. When Adric asks Romana why they should believe Birok, what was her answer?
I don't remember.
No, she didn't say that.
Because he was running.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What is a leonine mesomorph?
A tharal?
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What type of ship does Rorvik command? What type of ship is it?
It's a slaver.
No, it isn't.
Ship. Well, yes, it is.
No, it isn't in relation to the script. Thank you. Yes, Debbie. There may be a slaver now, but technically it's a...
Slaver.
Nope.
No, I can't remember.
It's a bulk freighter.
Yes.
Right, Debbie.
Oh, okay.
Debbie. I had fat in my head.
Debbie, what colour are Adric's shoes?
Green.
What?
That is the correct answer. So, right, we've got about halfway through, so we'll do a score
I'm
update.
I'm catching you up.
In the last place with 8 points is Debbie, technically second place, it's not too bad. And in first place with 12 points, it's Kirby. This is Kirby's question.
Master.
What did the Doctor say when the two robot guards chop each other's heads?
It's on the tip of my brain.
No, he doesn't say that.
I don't. It was funny, and I don't remember when it was.
What did he say, Debbie?
Yeah. No idea.
Okay,
they've cut each other dead.
Yes, just in time. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, we're giving you 2 points. You should have had one.
That was my question.
Was it your question?
Yes, it was.
Okay, Kirby.
Was it? Master? Was it my question or yours,
no,
Kirby?
No, it was my question.
No, it was Kirby's question. Okay, we're good. No.
A point to me for getting that one right. Right.
There and we go. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I'll put it right now. Right, Kirby.
Master.
No, hang on, that was Kirby's question, so this is therefore
your
question.
Yes, it was.
This is Debbie.
This is my question, yeah.
Who's confusing me? I don't know.
It's my question.
Yeah, I've lost where I was now. Right, what would happen to Romana if she turns out not to be a time-sensitive?
She'd be frazzled, or...?
That's near enough. The word frazzled was the important part of that answer. Kirby?
Master.
What are the robot soldiers?
Gundans.
Correct. Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
How many physical gateways are there?
Physical ones, just the one, isn't it?
No.
No, all three.
Kirby?
I thought it was just the one.
No, it's three.
I said all three.
No, you said no. Sorry, one was the answer that you said. You can't give away. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Kirby?
Master?
What did K-9 ask for once the doctor passed through the mirrors?
A memory wafer.
No.
Orders.
Yes.
Orders?
Oh.
Debbie,
mm-hmm.
when the doc... What?
Hmm?
I wrote that question down.
Last friend.
When the doctor asked Birok how he was able to pass through the mirror, what was his explanation?
Because he's moving at a different time?
Nope.
Oh,
Kirby?
I don't know.
The answer was the time winds touched his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Kirby. Your hand will heal this side, yeah.
Master.
How did the doctor articulate what a conversation with Birok was similar to?
I don't remember him saying anything like that.
Okay, Debbie?
Cheshire Cat.
Correct.
Oh, duh.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
There was a lot of Alice in Wonderland stuff during that period.
Mm. Right, Debbie, what did Rorvik, is that his name?
Yeah.
Ask yes. Aldo to break out over the radio.
The MZ?
Correct. Even though I didn't,
and lunch.
Didn't actually write
and
down
lunch.
Didn't actually write down the answer, so stupid of me. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who threw K-9 off the ship? I've got a multiple choice here if you require it.
Yes, I require the multiple choice because all of them are
okay, right, the multiple choices are this. Is it Lane, Rorvik, Packard, or Aldo?
Yeah, I know.
Packard.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the hull of the ship made out of?
Dark star matter?
Nope. Don't think you got any of those words right. Kirby.
Master.
Darkstone.
What was the hull of the spaceship made out of?
Dark star matter.
No, it was dwarf star alloy.
Mm.
Right, Kirby.
Oh.
While the doctor stood facing the mirror with a gun at his head, what did Birok advise him to do?
Do nothing.
Correct.
Hey, I actually got one right.
Hey, Debbie. How did Rorvik plan to use his ship to get them all out of the situation?
Back blast from
correct.
The MV in the mirrors.
Kirby. How long did the Doctor and Romana give Adric for them to achieve their mission before he had to dematerialise the TARDIS?
13.5 minutes?
Is the correct answer. Debbie?
Yes.
I love that.
While Romana was standing guard, she told the Doctor that something had marked the spot. What?
Oh, clipboard.
Correct?
Yes.
Right, not many questions left now. It's all boiling down to this. Kirby?
Master?
What were the Doctor's last words to Romana? Word for word.
You were the best, Romana. Oh, darn it. I closed down the...
I'd love to give you that, but as it's a word-for-word answer...
You were the noblest Romana of them all.
Yeah, I'll give you that one then.
All right.
Debbie.
Yes.
I was looking up one of my favorite things Romana said was, he's mad, the back blast backlash will bounce back.
Oh dear.
Right, that was great.
Mary's back, yeah. Hang on.
Mary wins.
No. I hope I haven't upset her. Right, so Debbie's question then.
Yep.
What was the last words K9 said in the story?
Affirmative, mistress.
Correct. Last question is a free-for-all. Let's see what the scores are.
Ooh.
We have Kirby with 22 points, Debbie with 21 points.
Oh, dear.
Right, so the first one to get in with this answer, technically, and probably does, actually win the quiz. Right. Who was the production assistant for Warrior's Gate?
Graham Harper.
Correct.
There you go.
So the winner is therefore Kirby.
Easy.
Mary would have won that, though, if she'd been here, of course.
Yes.
I hope we haven't upset her.
No, I hope I haven't upset her. I'll have to listen back and see what I said the last thing before she disappeared. I'm very worried.
We're not even sure when she disappeared.
No. I reckon I'm hoping, innocently, it was a...
I hope it was.
It was an internet problem rather than Debbie upsetting her.
Oh, I hope not. Crikey.
Right,
oh, wait. Yeah. She might have... Oh, you put that out. You put out, Mary, what happened. Okay.
I did, yes.
No,
I'll
change
it to Mary, what we've done to upset you.
And then that was pretty much it, wasn't it? Maybe she accidentally just went...
No, she would have come back by now.
Yeah.
The mysterious disappearance of Mary.
The doctor turned up.
I'm very upset. It's not the same without her. Anyway, should we do this thing with...
Well, I'll be so glad when we get Matthew back, or Robert.
What, because you're fed up with Mary, or...?
No, we just need more people.
Yes, I know. But as soon as the new series starts, you can guarantee they'll be clamouring to get into the show, won't they?
Reese will be back.
Yeah, that'd be funny. He's going to get so much stick.
Bless.
Right, so we do this thing where we're going to do the best stories of all time in the top five in reverse order?
I would suggest not, because I was...
Did we say just a minute ago we were going to do it? And then you decided
well, that
not
was
going
when
to do it.
We, that was when we had more people.
That was when Mary was on. Yeah.
Mary was actually prepared. I was ill.
We could get listeners to do their feedback as
could
well.
Could do, they won't.
Some of them might.
Well, yeah, if you want to have a go at this, we'll try it next week then. We'll do best stories of all time in the top five in reverse order. Worst stories of all time, top five, and the top five monsters of all time.
Five doctors and new and old monsters, wasn't it?
So if you want to send those in, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I'm not expecting to get any because people don't like writing.
Well, we'll put it out
show.
On Facebook as well and see if
yes,
anything
if you say
happens.
So. It won't happen though.
Oh, right.
And then we'll we'll announce them or just read them out on the show next week. Next week we're looking at what, Kirby? Before we do news.
I'm looking, hang on. I believe it's the War Machines.
It is the War Machines, because I remember...
Episodes is that one?
It's four.
Really? Mm. Oh, good. I was worried. Sometimes you get to some of those old ones and you end up with 6, 7, 10.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
Okay, the War Machines, 4 episodes, good.
Okay. News. Mm-hmm. Don't think there is much, actually, to be honest. There's a recording of Jacqueline Hill.
Oh, when are we going to record?
We're not talking about that now. Well, I don't know.
Do the news.
Well, am I not busy next Sunday?
Sunday would be fine.
I think I might be busy.
Oh.
Monday's fine for me.
Yeah.
Okay, Monday then. Fox Germany announces... what's this then? Apparently Fox Germany announces a Series 8 simulcast on BBC One. I didn't know there was a fox in Germany. Didn't know foxes were...
Why not?
Apparently they've announced the intention to broadcast the next series of Doctor Who at the same time or as near as possible to its transmission in the UK. Well, judging they're probably just about an hour or two ahead, isn't it?
Mm.
Then I don't think that's a major issue. Favish Doctor's reboot is going to be given a DVD outing. I hope that's as an addition to some other Doctor Who production.
Alternative 50th anniversary special, isn't it?
Yes.
I hope that we get it over here.
I hope so.
Yes, indeed.
I love that.
Doesn't say how they're going to bring it out, whether it's going to be on its own or whether it's going to be attached to another Doctor Who release. Watch the space of that one. Adventures in Time Space, nominated for Critics' Choice Award. What's that award then? What Critics' Choice? There's so many award ceremonies, isn't there? I was thinking the other day, in fact I tweeted, is there an award ceremony
BBC
for award
America.
Ceremonies?
Yeah, it's got the best award this year. Yeah.
And you don't get that, you would have thought they would be, because they seem to be a bit... Because you get some really good award ceremonies and really bad ones. You would have thought they would be some sort of process of awarding award ceremonies, wouldn't you, Kirby?
Right, whatever.
Anyway, yeah, it's nominated for Best Movie, Adventure in Time, Space and Time. Along with Burton and Taylor, Killing Kennedy, The Normal Heart, Sherlock, His Last Vow, and A Trip to Bountiful. And David Bradley is therefore nominated for Best Actor, along with Benedict Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor. What the hell do you say that? Whatever that is. Is it?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
thank you.
So.
Martin Freeman, Mark Ruffalo, Billy Bob Thornton. And the best supporting actor is Jessica Raine for Adventure in Space and Time. Ironic considering her starring performance in called Midwife series. And that's along with Amanda Abington, Kathy Bates, Ellen Bernstein, Julia Roberts, and Alison Tolman. There you go. Where else we go? Oh, Barbara Murray.
Yeah, always remember that was last week. It's Adventure in Space and
Time. Yes, thank
time.
You, Kirby.
Yes, it's in alphabetical order.
Thank you, Kirby. Yes.
Space
yes.
and Time.
Thank you. I don't really think of the alphabet when I'm trying to read stuff off the screen. Like I said, Jacqueline Hill, an appearance with Sean Connery, has been unearthed. The play Requiem for a Heavyweight. That was from March 1957. The picture of her they posted on DoctorWhoNews.net is rather charming with a sort of 1950s hairstyle. So I think that suits her better than the one she had in Doctor Who, actually. Doctor Who Adventures magazine, issue number 347, is out.
Master?
And you get a Master. Glowing Slitheen.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, Kirby.
Well, first of all, your sound quality has disintegrated.
Well, it hasn't at this end, so that's the end that counts, doesn't it, Debbie?
Go ahead. You need to step to a couple of those items that you skipped.
Do you remember Norman Collier? Yes, he used to do quite a lot of that sort of stuff.
Is that better?
Oh, I see. Debbie's using that bandwidth.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking at the...
She was looking up the news.
But no, and it's not better.
Oh, well, stopped using it.
We haven't got much time left, so it doesn't really matter. I don't think I'm downloading anything. Official Doctor Who walking tours return. The Doctor Who walking tours, run by Doctor Experience in Cardiff, are back for the 2014 season. Tours operate every Friday, Saturday, Sunday from the 14th of June.
You'll have to go and check that out for us.
It just says Saturday, 14th of June until Sunday, the 20th of July.
Not
just
very
two
long,
weekends.
Is that the studio tour, then? The proper studio tour, as well as the...
No, well, you can...
31 locations.
Oh.
It's the locations. And I believe that there are times, at least last year, that you could also go in and get into the TARDIS.
Oh.
But it depends on whether or not they're filming in there.
Well, I can tell you that my family would not be as slightest bit interested in going around Doctor Who locations, but would have been interested in going in the TARDIS. But certainly we did go in the TARDIS, so we went to the Doctor Who celebration. Because there's a photograph of us in it.
Well, it doesn't matter about him. You go.
Oh, I'd like to.
Yeah,
that'd
be easy.
Yeah.
I just jump on a little dinghy, go over to Southampton.
Just,
won't cost a penny, will it?
Sail down to Cardiff.
Glimpses of this. Oh, look, the teaser trailer image release. There's an image of this teaser trailer.
Not sure about the new.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Is it
sure.
the same as what we've already seen? About
yeah.
10 seconds
yes.
long. Then I'm
same
not going to play it. No. What's this here? Seventh Doctor hat among items to be auctioned at Bonhams. Ooh, loads of interesting items here. Rather beats our
ego. It's too bad Matthew is not on him because he'd probably try and bid for that.
You could. I haven't got any money.
I don't.
They're looking at between £800 to £1,200 estimate for the hat.
Well, it's an original rehearsal script for The War Machines is rather topical. Episode 2.
Yes.
Estimated value of £250 to £350. But there's loads of other items. Not going to read them out because there's too many things there. Anything interesting there, Debbie?
Time Lord robe from the Deadly Assassin. No, that would be a good cosplay. 2,000 to 2,500. Mm, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just snip. Snip.
Yeah, yeah, so that's it for news this week.
Did mention last week that Barbara Murray had died?
And I thought I'll mention that last week, actually. I'm sorry, listeners, you can't understand what Kirby said. That it was, did I mention that Barbara Murray had died? The answer was
yes. You can't understand. What's wrong?
No, you're...
You've gone a bit
sort of weird.
Again.
Yeah, a bit Norman Collier. Yes,
there, is that, if is
I,
that better?
No. If I didn't mention it last week, which I think I did, Barbara Murray, who played Lady Cranley in The Black Orchid, has passed away at the age of 84. But that was on the 29th of May, which pretty sure falls into last week's episode. Yeah. She proves he doesn't listen to me when I'm on the show.
I've been ill.
You've been ill.
He has been ill.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I suppose that's the one that's in Reese Parton's first book of excuses.
Anything new on the sponsors' website?
I don't think there is, but feel free to look.
Yeah, but if I do, we lose the...
Are you saying that my Sky internet is particularly unreliable? Yes, thank you, Sky. Deb's always moaning about my Deb, by the way. Always moaning about the slowness of the internet. If I'm uploading photographs to my website, that's apvservices.zenfolio.com, by the way, she can never browse without turning the Wi-Fi off and going on to 3G.
I've lost all the...
Apparently, they're installing 4G on the Isle of Wight, and it's going to affect our blooming digital TV signals.
Ah. Well,
see, they've got Reese Barton's book of excuses as well.
Who watches TV? There's only one thing on TV.
Is there what? I've got a. I did have a cat on the top of mine until they became rather thinner. Remember, there was a cathode ray ones. Your cat used to sit on the top of it if you were lucky enough to have a cat. Right, where's this?
What's on TV? Oh, looks like a penguin.
They've changed eBay.
What's a penguin doing on TV?
I don't know, but they've changed eBay. So when I want to search the blooming Doctor Who stuff, it doesn't allow me to search it easily by shot by category, is that it? No, where's it gone?
They've changed it all around again, haven't they?
They're gits,
you'll just
they?
Have to forego it. Oh well.
I will have to forego it, but I'm a bit annoyed that they've done it. Why is it not here anymore? Oh, here we are. You have to go into listings ending with no, they're starting with. Old bids from, doesn't matter. Items listed, best offer. Oh, good lord. So they haven't got the list. Oh, they have now. It's right down the bottom. Oh, what a ridiculous setup they've done that. Why do they have to complicate things? They're obviously run by a woman.
eBay. Dog.
What?
What's the matter?
The dog.
Oh, God. That got to you before it got to me. I thought you were having a go at me because I was being sexist. View results. Isn't it?
Lovely fresh air.
Let's do it. It's 200 per page. That'll make it easier for me.
Put that bottom.
Wait, don't you only farts when you're here? He must have. Poor.
Sure.
He does. He never farts. He only farts when Debbie's here.
Cool.
I just tried to type in Doctor Who very quickly and came up with Dictyr Wee. That's sort of like some sort of Korean name. Doctor.
Well, I'm on the whoone.co.uk.
Oh, you are? Yes. Debbie's on whoone.co.uk. Is that whoone.co.uk?
That's whoone.co.uk. That is one of our
And whoone.co.uk?
Yeah.
Oh, stupid. Oh.
And, I was taking a drink of Diet Coke. Sorry.
What's that
guy
doing?
Well, he likes Diet Coke. Hopefully Coke are listening and might send him something.
So the most expensive item on eBay this week, while Debbie looks up whoone.co.uk, still got our wrong email address on it, must get that sorted out at some point, is a Dalek number plate. It's a cherished number plate with DAL 3K. Good lord, £5,995. Well, I think I've seen that on there before, so I think obviously nobody wants to spend that much money on a number plate, quite rightly so. But that's got no bids against it, Debbie, isn't that surprising? No, that's good.
There's more there,
down.
Look.
What, with bids against? Or there's another Dalek one, DAL 3K. Mm-hmm. But that one's only a grand.
Dalek.
Yeah, that's the sort of... I suppose they haven't got DARLEK or something like that, because that's the often ignorant sort of philistinical...
Dalek.
That's a good word, isn't it? Philistinical spelling of Dalek, yeah. I've even known Doctor Who fans to spell it that way. Dan Van Kylenberg. Who used to listen to the show. Now we'll find out if he still does. if we get some feedback on that. Not a lot going on, is there?
My sister's year at school.
Is it? I used to work with him at PM Colour. He's a Southampton fan, so at least he's got good taste in football teams. What is this? Doctor
Coming
Who series?
Coming soon, figurines.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Not just a coming soon sign, and they're £399 each.
Fair enough.
All right, where's Mary?
Did we mention last week the DWM 474, the Doctor Who first five
know.
Decades has voted?
Oh, is that Mary?
No, that's Kirby. We needed you today, Matthew.
Matthew's scared of Debbie.
No, he's not.
Oh, well, there's an interesting item here, though. Patrick Troughton's signature piece, faced, autographed album, whatever that is. It's quite interesting, isn't it? But 300 quid. I think Robert's got a autograph from Patrick Troughton. I wonder if he thinks
we'll never know, since he...
Well, he did say so. He has mentioned it in the past. Ah, I found one! Hurrah! The item was bids against it. Radio Times, Doctor Who Vintage Magazine from 1964, Marco Polo, William Hartnell on the front of the Radio Times, priced at £262.98. Eight people want that so far. Would you like to pay that sort of money for...
I had that sort of money, I would.
The only one my copy of the Radio Times I'd like is the issue from May 1966. Because my mum reckons that... my dad and her dad were watching football when I was born.
Oh.
And I don't think there would have been any football on Thursday, May the 12th, 1966. So I'd just like to have that verified. Doctor Who Prop Vortex Manipulator. £260.
Two bits on it.
Hmm. I wonder if it's a real one. Shall I have a look?
it comes in
some sort of straw thingy.
Not sure.
It says last but one, John Barrowman signed the Vortex Manipulator Edition 100. Says there are a few of them around, made by prop makers. I suppose that's quite. They make the props for the show and some backup ones to sell on eBay, obviously. My thing's stopped. Oh, has it got back to the beginning? Oh, for goodness sake. I do. This is what happened with iTunes, you know, when we used to do the Doctor Who podcast. The Doctor Who podcast charts. iTunes changed things. So when you go forward a page, you go back and it always goes back to the top. So you had to scroll back down. So therefore, I stopped doing it because they made it more difficult for me. Maybe they heard that I was doing a Doctor Who podcast charts. And maybe eBay have heard that I was doing a feature on eBay. So they decided to make it, blooming site, more difficult. I'm starting to lose the will to live with this. Oh,
there we are. Back to
I got back to where I was. I've got a funny feeling that it's going to be ages before I find a third item.
There you go. No, back up.
Oh, Debbie's found one.
There you go.
There we are. Big Chief Studios, 10th Doctor Signature Edition, David Tennant, Doctor Who. What is it?
240.
I know how much it is, but wait.
It's just a signed statue by the looks of it.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
So, somebody's willing to pay £245 for that.
38 bids.
Ooh, hang on, what's that?
I don't participate in this eBay stuff because you get a completely different list than I see.
Oh, that's one of the benefits, of course. Okay, I'm only joking. Right, that's it then, really. No, I don't think there's any.
No word from Mary.
No, Mary's obviously.
Nope.
Oh. I've upset her. Okay. Don't know what to say, really. So next week we've got The War Machines. I should have watched it by now, but I never got around to it. I've watched it a few times, actually. The only thing, and I'm going to tell you in advance, that annoys me about The War Machines. I also want to warn listeners who haven't seen The War Machines yet to be shocked. And just to prepare them for the awful thing.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Of Wotan saying, Doctor Who is required.
Oh, yes.
The most irritating thing in the history of Doctor Who.
I thought you were going to remember the
only
robots.
The very beginning of that story and that scene are the only parts of it that I've seen.
Oh, yes, other than that, it's quite good. So, until next week, I hope Mary's all right. Yes, we are sponsored by Lavazzi. They make scarves and stuff.
Fantastic.
And Kirby's just about to say something.
No, I'll save until next week because it was a comment about the War Machine.
Oh. Okay, we'll save it until next week. God knows who's going to be on the show next week. But until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Alton. Bye-bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.